What can we tell about the next 4 years of Donald Trump from the last 2 months? No incoming president has gone as far and as fast as Trump to name so many of his administration. Trump has announced a daily growing list of executive actions he proposes to take. He has met with heads of state and ambassadors at his Mar-a-Lago club, and he has sent emissaries to meet with allies overseas, thus conducting some level of foreign policy while the current president stands by fecklessly. The Washington Post has said that, quote, less than 2 weeks before taking office, President-elect Donald Trump on Tuesday took some of his most audacious claims and promises of the transition period and amped them up to new levels. Trump said he would not rule out using military force to seize control of the Panama Canal, citing national security interests. Trump also criticized the late President Jimmy Carter just as his remains were being transported to Washington for 3 days of state funeral rites in the Capitol. And he escalated his threats against Hamas, warning anew that all hell will break out in the Middle East if the Israeli hostages still being held in Gaza are not returned before he takes office, hammering home a threat he's been making since last month without detailing what those ramifications could mean. And, of course, he suggested that Canada should become our 51st state and that the U.S. should buy Greenland. Many of these will never become serious policy proposals, but some may. The legacy media will become increasingly apoplectic as they try to analyze extravagant comment after comment. I suggest that their doing so completely misses the point and plays directly into Trump's hand. Trump always wants to control the rhetoric. Unexpected, even shocking remarks and proposals do just that. We have never seen a president whose sheer force of will is so effective. He learned some of what has become his style from his then attorney, Roy Cohn, 50 years ago, notorious for his defense of Joe McCarthy. Cohn's famous advice was, "You might be guilty, it doesn't matter. Don't ever admit guilt." His cousin David Marcus said that Trump was totally taken by Cohn's advice to fight it. Just deny everything and fight. When charged, along with his father, with racial discrimination for denying black applicants apartment housing a half a century ago, Trump followed Cohn's advice and denied discrimination and then countersued the federal government for $100 million. According to Marcus, Donald Trump was on the ropes. There was no doubt they had discriminated. There was no doubt there was wrongdoing. And yet Roy Cohn showed him that you can turn around a situation just by ignoring the facts and going after your attacker. The countersuit failed, and the Trumps ultimately signed a consent decree that required them to make their properties more accessible to minorities, but did not include an admission of guilt. Roy went on the defensive and said, "This is a victory. Trump was vindicated," Marcus says. He knew that the court of public opinion is often more important than a court of law. Trump is still following Cohn's advice to the T. The two most obvious examples are his characterization of the January 6th riots in 2021 and his comments on the recent legal cases against him by E. Jean Carroll, Jack Smith, and Alvin Bragg. With stubborn rhetoric, he has changed public perception of every one of those cases. He continues to insist that everything on January 6th was perfect, patriotic, and beautiful. He used precisely the same language in defending himself in the two impeachment trials. He, quote, never knew E. Jean Carroll. Alvin Bragg was a political hack pursuing him for what was merely a bookkeeping error. And Judge Mershon's case summary and sentencing were merely the last gasps of a failing case that never should have been brought in the first place. Not even the fabled great communicator Ronald Reagan was so effective in changing public perception as Donald Trump. He has turned diversity, equity, and inclusion into dirty words. Look at how McDonald's, Walmart, John Deere, Lowe's, and Harley-Davidson have disowned DEI just in the last month. Look at the rise of Meloni in Italy, Le Pen in France, and the Conservative Party in Canada. Would any one of those be in the positions they now enjoy if Donald Trump had retreated to his golf courses in humiliation 4 years ago? So while the legacy media continue to sputter rage and disbelief at Trump's almost artesian outbursts, intelligent observers, like the listeners to American Radio Journal, should see what many want to dismiss as craziness as, in fact, crazy like a fox. It may be the shortest route to restoring America's economy at home and leadership in the world. This has been Colin Hanna of Let Freedom Ring.